The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 775. It's the Weekend Podcast, so I'm joined by Peter and Steve. Having said that, I'm half joined by Pete. He's had technical issues. Every other day, it's Peter having or Steve having technical issues. I'm the only one that's consistent here. It's a good job none of you two are hosting a podcast, isn't it?
Yes.
Very good job.
Very good job, yes. In fact, very good job. Hey, as I'm looking, guys, some excitement, I've got to say. We have made our third choice on our... What was it, £1,000 to £100,000 in 50 trades or less? You know, hopefully achieving 10% gain on each stock. We're on trade three. We've done EasyJet, tick off, successful, yes. We did Sky, tick, yes, successful. We attained more than 10% on each of those. And now we're into our third one. It was going to be next. It got away from us, didn't it? It got away from us. And so in the week, we plumped for another big cap stock. And that is
da, 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 da.
BT, phone home.
That's it.
And we bought
it's gone
BT.
Gone well so far.
Yeah, we bought BT. And, well, no, hang on the day we bought it, it went up, didn't it? Obviously, the big money, Steve's big money going in there. People think there's a fund going in, BlackRock or someone. And, yeah, so it went up. And I said, let's buy it before the final results. Because... you know, I think all the bad news is priced in, and so should we go for it? We all went for it, and you know, we went for it, and so what? What price? I got a better price than you two, I think, didn't I? Like a couple of pence below, or half a pence below.
I got 305.7, and
yeah,
Steve
so that's
got 305.68, and you got 305.4 or something.
That's all right. I still got it better than you. That's because Harry and Larry, who you were with. Harry and Larry Lansdowne, they always like to put a couple of pence on top. Yeah.
I think it's because you bought first and we bought second and it was literally rising as we were buying.
Yeah. But as we're talking right now, so we bought at 305 or something. I mean, let's say 306. We're looking for 10%, obviously. And right now, it's 304. So it dropped on the day of the finals because there's a lot of bad news in there. I'm going to read out Steve's conversation here because it's a very funny. Let's have a look.
Don't remember saying something funny?
No. It's always accidental. That's a good thing of you.
Is it a different Steve?
Yeah. Here we are then. Steve said, it's going up as we talk. Yes. That's because the big money jumped in. I said, yes. Next stock, £4. So the finals are out. So next day, finals out, and it didn't plummet, I said. This bodes well. Steve said, I take it the finals weren't amazing then. The fact it didn't fly. Steve, the thing is, this is the thing. Share price, this is always a good thing to remember, all right? Shares are a lot about the future, pretty much, you know? They're not about what's happened, they're about what's going to happen, you know? So
well, thank God for that.
They've thrown everything now at the wall. You know, BT's had a nightmare of a year, absolute nightmare. They've had scandal and fraud in Italy, sexual sector in Italy. They've also had Ofcom fining them a record amount. All right, so all of this is happening, and yet you know the share price has gone from £5 down to like just under £3. So you've got to suggest that surely everything is in the price by now. That's what I'm thinking of, Steve. See, so then going forward, it may have a bit of volatility, but hopefully. Hopefully, they'll come out of the woods. Hello, I'm out of the woods. I don't know what that means. Oh, look, there's a guy just come out of the woods over there. Hi, I'm out of the woods now.
Oh, it's BT.
Yeah. So hopefully that will happen. And so we're going to rise from here. And as I'm looking now, we're back at £3.05. We've also got a little divvy on there, which is about 5%. So that's not bad, is it, eh? And they said they're going to... I think they went a bit quiet on that. The reason why it dropped, apparently, a couple of analysts didn't like the fact that they didn't give forward guidance far enough. They didn't go beyond this year and to say what's going to happen next year, which they like to see, obviously, a lot of investors, and that's the reason why. But they have stated they're going to be progressive in their dividend, increasing it by 10%, and I think they reiterated that. So that's a good thing, you know? It's a good thing for the divvy hasn't been cut or anything. So they're going forward. So that's good. So I'm quite confident here. I think the £3 level is a good level. And so so £3.5. What are we looking for? 32 pence?
Well, no, 30.6 pence or something, aren't we?
Yeah. So I think it's good, yeah. I'm looking at the share price today. It's quite buoyant. It's going all right, you know? So
The dividend payment last year was September, the final dividend, wasn't it? So we will qualify for that, but that's a few months away, isn't it? So hopefully we'll get our 10% before then.
Yes, BT dividend.
Dividend date last year was 11th of August.
Yeah.
And they paid out on the 5th of September. But, you know, a bit boring if we have to wait that long to get the dividend to help us get our 10%.
Yes, it is. But I think we'll rally. I think we will rally. So this is what I think. I mean, you know, you've got a big company, like, you know, they've got. And I had Chris Bailey on. He was looking at the figures in the week. Chris Bailey from Financial Orbit. He's looking at the figures. He said, listen, they've got excellent cash flow, free cash flow, which means we'll cover the dividend. They don't have to borrow the dividend. So that's covered. And they got spare cash there. So that's fine, you know. And I think that's essentially what they're looking at. I think we're fine. We've got a big company there that's had a nightmare year, you know.
Yes.
And that's always a good thing. Like Tesco, when they have a nightmare year like that, right, they have to do something about it, you know. They can't just ignore it. And so they are doing something about it. And there's some good things happening in the company. There is growth there. They are 19% down profit from last year. But there's growth in certain areas of the business. And so we've gone through a year now where they've had that Ofcom result come out. And that was a point of unknown quantity, you know. But that's come out. That's done.
Did they just buy O2?
The O2 Arena? Yeah, you probably are.
No, the O2. Like the mobile network.
Did they? Oh, EE, wasn't it?
No, was it EE? I know they bought an.
They bought EE, yeah. The EE, yes. They got EE, yeah. Yes. Oh, right, okay. EE. BT by EE. So it's BT. See? They should just add that at the end, should they? BT. Yeah. So there we are. So I think I'm out of the woods. That's what I think, anyway, for BT. And if you look at the chart, look at the trading on Friday, I think we're okay. I don't know. Nicola Duke on the chart suggested it may go down to 286. It should be getting Fibonacci's out, you know? And so that's what she thinks. But that's fine, isn't it? That's not even like 5% down, is it? Do the math. It was about
roughly.
5% down. Yeah, roughly 5%.
No,
so that's fine.
About 4.
Yeah, yeah, good. So that's fine there. So I think we're okay. So that's our next trade, guys. We're going for, I think we could, let's go back to £5, guys. I really think so. They are dealing with issues.
What are you basing that on?
I'm basing that on Ramparuni.
You're loving
research.
A ramping.
That's Ramparuni research. I tell you what, though, the big news for me this week.
What's coming up.
It's been my square. Yes. Didn't I tell you about this, guys? Did I say about it?
Ridiculous.
I kept signposting. I did the research on it. I said, listen, convertible loans coming out. There's a company, you know, and Peter, you said you had something to say about this. What's the issue here? What's the problem? Let me just say what happened. I've had 350% gain on this in the last week or so. You know, I have sold half. I sold some more as well. So I've only got a small amount in there, but even that small amount now is looking quite good, you know? So,
yes.
So,
well done.
What's your thoughts? Thanks very much.
Once again, me and Steve applaud you. Well done. Very good.
Thanks for recommending YOLO to us.
Yeah. That's going to have its day. Don't worry, Steve. Listen, Gfinity and Audioboom, some of the investments has got there. Audioboom this year, it's going to work. We know that. I mean, if you look at Audioboom's revenue, right? They've already booked 3 million. That's in the quietest 4 months of the year. Their target for this year is 5.4, which is almost sixfold on last year. They're going to surpass 7 million this year. And when that people start to realise that, the Audioboom shit, they've got cash already. They don't need to go to the market for cash. When people start to catch on to that, right, it will re-rate. Gfinity just raised, 6.25 million, doing really well. They are the leader in gaming and the gaming arena. They've got deals with Microsoft, everything. It has its day. This week I was going to throw some more into YOLO, actually. They'll do well. It's fine. It'll bounce. Yes, it's temporary. But what sticks out in my head is, though, sorry, is this, if I'm obviously more active than you because I do shares, I check people all day, and I think sometimes you've got to be in the smaller stocks, you've got to be like that because you can pick and choose, and some go well, some don't go so well, you know. But when the ones go well, do go well, you know, it's fantastic because the maximum you can lose in a stock is 100%. The maximum gain in a stock, I know, but that doesn't happen very often unless you pick a dog, you know. And there aren't, you know, and you can, if you got half a brain about you, you can avoid the dogs of the dogs. You know, so don't go for the dogs of the dogs. But but generally, let's say even, YOLO were down 50%. But you can do, you know, 500% on some penny stocks. Yes. You know,
but
so.
I think. Just not the ones me and Pete are picking.
Well, but this is the thing, isn't it? And it's.
That's because you're bad investors.
No. Well,
I'm very good, actually.
For every mice square, there's a snooze box, isn't there?
Yeah, but you see what I did on snooze box? I reread, and I'm learning as it goes ahead, you know? And snooze box, how long ago was that? You're still harping on about snooze box. How long ago was that? A year ago?
Let sleeping dogs lie. No, I'm joking, but I'm bringing that up as an example. My point is.
But let me just tell you something there. The point is, here, let me just say, there's nothing more important than risk, you know, and your risk management. Absolutely. Risk management is the key thing. Number one ever thing you should ever do, risk management. And with Snoobox, I cut, you know, when I was 70% down, but I didn't have a lot in because I was I just didn't feel confident about it. I read the update. And it was sort of a tip someone gave to me. And that, do you know what? I wrote a blog on it, and I wasn't really convinced of it. But now, and also, you know, shares, it's about learning, you know? And the smaller caps are a different animal, different beast to bigger caps. And it's about learning. You do learn as you go along. Anyway, go for it.
Right. So, but the thing with MySquare, and I think we talked about this the other week when you first were getting into them, and I was saying that I'm just too busy to kind of watch it. It went up by a crazy amount and then dropped, you know. And I said I'd come home from work and it would be like, oh, there we are. I went up, but actually I've lost again because I wasn't quick enough. I wasn't here to you know, trade like a dirty trader. But the thing with MySquare is, you know, what am I missing there? Because you look at that company, yeah, okay, it's interesting, there's some potential there, blah, blah. But all of these companies have potential. Snoozebox has potential, whatever, whatever. All these companies, yes, you can do some research. Yes, you can kind of go, oh, that has more potential than that one, whatever. What am I missing with MySquare? Why has that rocketed like that? Because there's no real justification in my mind. It's good, but it's not, you know, gangbuster, incredible. You know, Fusarium, with its graphene that we were talking about the other week, to me, that's a far more promising, interesting thing than a social media company in Myanmar, whatever. You know, why would have I invested? Why should I have invested that 2-3 weeks ago? This isn't sour grapes. It kind of is. No, it's not. But it's. Do you get, see what I'm saying? It's.
God,
it's,
I tell you what. Yeah, yes.
It's frustrating. Pete, small caps.
No, I know. I take your point on board, and it's a long question. If you're on BBC Question Time now, Mr. Dimbleby would say, okay. Yeah. Well, this is why it has super potential. First and foremost,
you're just saying you're just criticizing me for talking too much.
Yeah. No. That was a long question, though. What was the question? What was the question again? What are you missing? Essentially, shall I go back to the start and say, what are you missing?
It's an observation.
Okay. Well, listen, this is what you're missing, right? First and foremost. Yeah. Yes, Vusarium has huge potential. I believe that. In fact, I checked the Neil Ricketts on Friday's podcast and listened to what he said. And I said to him, he said on his board downstairs, they're talking to about 50 to 100 companies, well-known companies, a lot of them, you know, some of them are really big companies. And he said, I can't say obviously that they are because I've got NDAs, non-disclosure agreements with them. Yeah. But they are, you know, big companies. And I said, Neil, tell me who they are. He said, I can't tell you who they are. But, you know, we got them. And he said, my CFO is worried I'm not going to sleep. And I said, how many of those, Neil? How many of those deals on that board? He said, there are a couple. I said, you know, he said, at the moment, I talked to two very big companies and their household names. And I said, are they potentially transformational for the company, for your company? He said, oh, yeah, listen. I'd say 50 to 100 of the companies we're talking to are transformational. You know, and they are, because, you know, listen, and I said to him, there are so many experts out there who are saying that graphene will change the world and so many different sectors. Now, they're all saying that these are not people paid by graphene companies. You know, you can go around and it's, you know, independent people advice. And so you've got to say, hang on, if they're all saying it, I should get some exposure to graphene in my portfolio, you know? And I think it will change, and I think in the next few years you'll see it happening. It's taken a while to come around because, of course, when you've got a new product, so much work needs doing on it, testing it so many different levels, you know, to make it work. And they are now starting to make it work. But yes, but the difference is, why is something can re-rate that fast is because my square had a market cap. It's in tech, because there's no shares like tech or resource companies to explode. So if you're looking for companies that can 10 bag, look at tech or resource stocks. You know, you'd also get maybe biopharma, but tech and resource stocks, you know, and I mean, you know, so oil, gas, this kind of thing, and also tech. And the reason why, my square's market cap was 2 million. That's why. Vesarian is like 22 million. So like I said, always look at the market cap of a company.
Yeah, but you're not comparing apples with apples there, are you? They're two completely different.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is that share price of MySquare was pushed down, suppressed beyond natural levels because of the convertible loan notes. And I kept saying this. I said, when these finish, because you've got to, for people not aware of what convertible loan notes are, they borrow money off a company and the company, so for example, let's say Steve, you're MySquare. Pete, is a finance house, right? You need cash because you're a startup. You can't go to a bank because essentially they won't give you time of day because you don't have any revenue. It's a very risky company. You're based in, you know, Myanmar, for, you know, ex-Burma, for example. You're also on social media. You know, you haven't got any revenue there. So you go to a company like Pete and they'll say, right, we will loan you, say, 2 million, okay? And that's, it can be converted into shares. So and that's shares at a 10 or 20% discount to the market price, you know? So you always got that big seller in there. Whenever the share price gets to me, so it's pushing it down, right? And yet, and also, let's not forget, MySquare, they've really just started implementing their revenue streams. They've got several revenue streams happening, and they've just started implementing them. They've got to deal with one of the biggest telecoms companies around in Telenor in Norway, so they can do voice over IP calls and charge for that. They've got a marketplace that's happening. They've got lots of things happening, you know, little stickers and all that happening. They're all coming in online in April, June,
stickers.
Now.
They've got a sticker business?
Yeah. You know,
all
those kind of things. All kinds of social networks you can pay for. That's all coming into force now. Now, listen, they did a daily revenue update, right? And the company has made significant progress in achieving its monetization targets. Average daily revenue reached $5,000 a day during the first week of May. Now, taking into account, they've just started monetizing these revenue streams, right, from April. It was $3,900 a day in April. People extrapolate that out and say, well, that's only $1.5 million a year, you know?
Yeah.
And now the market, I know, but listen, what you're not thinking of, that's a 28% growth in a week. Of revenue, and we're talking about a leading social network in a country the size of this, the population size of the UK, right? And yet, which is Viber, something like that, just got bought up for 900 million. They've got 10 million registered users. You know, they're growing massively, and they were valued at 2 million market cap. So then you get people coming in, convertible loan note comes out, buying like crazy, the volume goes up, momentum drives stock crazy. People catch on the last thing. So you've got all these things happening. You've got momentum, you've got undervalued company, the potential going forward. They've expanded their voice over IP service to Pakistan and India, massive populations. You know, so you've got the potential here, you know, to be huge. I mean, you know, both fund securities have 21 pence target on them. They could be taken out by a bigger company. So all these things are happening, and they were like, you know, 3 million market cap. Now, what are they? They're 21 million? But for, you know, for a leading social network in a country that's the last commercial frontier, you know, in the Far East, and also if you look at the growth around that country, and like-for-like companies, then you can see the potential.
What about North Korea? That's surely the last frontier.
Yeah, it is the last, but that's never going to be a frontier, is it? As long as Fat Boy Kim is there.
Fat Boy Kim?
Yeah, what's
is
his
that
name?
Norman Cook?
Kim Do-oh!
No, right, so I get what you're saying there, and that all sounds great, but my point is...
Did you see that? I saw a funny article. I saw a funny article about Kim Jong-un, and what's the basketball? Dennis Rodman, you know? He went over and met him. Did you see? I did a press call. Went over and met him, Kim Jong-un. And of all the things that Kim Jong-un is a fan of, is 80s TV music themes. I can just imagine the fat guy eating his food, sitting away, listening to these themes in his big palace, you know, telling people, yeah, kill him, take him away, get him killed. And he's listening to the A-Team stuff like that. Or Starsky and Hutch, you know. It's like, what a weird world that guy lives in. Absolutely nuts, isn't it? Anyway. Yeah, but my point is,
I get everything you were saying there, and the downward pressure, convertible loan notes, blah, 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 and the potential, potential revenue. And that's what I'm saying about a number of other companies have potential, have a good, and in the short term or short to medium term potential, blah, blah, blah. Why then? Why does, for some reason, something like MySquare suddenly rocket? Well done, everyone that was in there. But
did I explain that?
You can no. But can't you see that there are plenty of other companies with very similar stories in terms of potential growth, with loans and all the rest of it. Like Steve was saying with Yolo and stuff. But it's just a bit of a lottery again, isn't it, with AIM? Because you just don't have picking the one that is going to be then suddenly 50% growth in one day in the share price. It's just a bit bananas, isn't it? It's just very difficult to pick unless you're like you.
I did it with EVRH. I did it with MySquare. What do those things have in common?
Spawny Justin.
No, but they have. They're tech companies with blue sky potential. No one knows where the potential could go, you know? And that's what I mean. Blue sky. Does it have the potential of 10 bags, especially from 2 million? Yes, it does. It's almost 10 bagged, you know, pretty much from its lows. So,
but would you agree with what I'm saying? There are other companies in the tech space with equally good potential, probably, that have seen some rises, but not on those meteoric.
But are you taking the market cap into consideration, and then the momentum you get from you get overbought? MySquare is overbought. You know, I mean, it will come back. And hopefully then it's going through this hype cycle. Like I said, it's happened with Audioboom.
Yeah.
It's happening with EVRH. It'll, you know, but in the meantime, they keep churning out this good news. And it looks like again, so listen, now, there's a huge amount of interest in MySquare. Now, if I was Peter, I wouldn't buy anywhere near where we are at the moment. I'd let it settle down. All shares, you know, come back a little. But you realise there's a swell now of interest in the stock. It's a massive. It's been, you know, I think number one most followed stock on Vox Markets the last 5 days in a row. You know, so there's a lot of interest in the stock. That interest won't go away now. People are learning about the story. So let it settle back, and it'll come down a bit, and then do your research. Take your time. And if they start releasing, you know, more updates about revenue improving and increasing at a certain, you know, an excellent growth rate, do a couple more deals, then, you know, it's like now, EVRH. Are you looking to get an EVRH now? And in fact, they've not even got any revenue there, but there's always this thing around the corner. They've got two biggest music, you know, players signed up with them. It's only a matter of time before something else happens big time. These guys are now cornering the market in the music VR world. And, to a certain extent, people will... That's what I understand. There's lots of people out there doing mid-caps and big-caps, right? And they say, oh, they've got no revenue. Don't let that blind you. Everyone's in stocks to make money. Don't let revenue blind you. Don't be hung up on revenue all the time. It's a ridiculous thing. Don't let revenue get in the way. It spoils a good story. It really does. Take that thing seriously. It does spoil a good story. If you're thinking about revenue all the time, it does spoil. And this guy, come on, I mean, nice guy.
That, listen to what you've just said. That is a bit bizarre, isn't it?
No, because it's the potential. That's what, hang on, right. What are you in stocks and shares for? Are you to be there to be, I want to be a respected investor who invests in a revenue company generating decent profits and good cash flow and then earn what, 3% a year or 5% a year? Or just want to make a ton of money on stocks and shares? If you just want to make a ton of money on stocks and shares, ignore all this nonsense about earnings per share and so on, because it's very risky. It's very risky. I mean, you should have a broad balance of all, of course. Small caps and big caps. Of course you should.
Okay.
Of course you should. But if you want to gain, you know, exponential sort of returns or you know, double-digit returns in a year, you have to expose yourself to a bit of risk in penny stocks. But you have to know what you're doing. And I think it's really hard. I'm still learning. I'm getting better at it. But it's very risky, but it's very rewardy as well. You know what I'm saying?
Rewardy?
Yeah. Risky, rewardy.
Okay. I take all of that on board, but I just still stand by what I said earlier in terms of picking the ones. And you can kind of go market cap was really small, blah, blah, blah. I still think there are plenty of other stocks where you can look at that and go, oh, the market cap's really low, seems to be undervalued, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't see these movements. I'm just like cloud tag when it last, whenever that was, 6 months ago, and all that hype and everything, and that just explodes through the ceiling. And
cloud
and
tag was never, I never invested in cloud tag. You mustn't compare cloud tag with MySquare. Two completely different. Cloud tag never had a product on the shelves. They never had any revenue, and they had a Fitbit. And in my mind,
didn't matter.
My mind was not even fit for purpose. It wasn't a Fitbit. I mean, I'm wearing one now, a Microsoft Band, right?
I've had
one.
What, three, a tag?
I've had three or four of these Fitbit things, and people were telling me about a year ago, I was arguing on Twitter with people about cloud tag, and they wouldn't have it. And I said, listen, I've had these things. Have you ever tried one of these Fitbits? You need a screen on your thing. You can't wait till you get your laptop and download the information. We're real-time people. We want, you know, accurate information now, when you download it. And they haven't even got on the
start a conversation about cloud tag. My point being that I just disagree that it's kind of like, this kind of, well, if there's any skill involved, really, to be honest.
If you look at my tweets, I've been highlighting the volume, right? And you look at momentum. When a stock gets interest like this, you know, the number one most followed company on Vox Markets 5 days in a row, see the volume doing times 10, the average daily volume, times 10 of that, and do that on a regular basis. When you see that, it's going to take off. You know, it really is. So be aware of tech companies, resource companies, and a phenomenal amount. So, I mean, 3 weeks ago, the average daily volume on MySquare was about 4 or 5 million a day. The average volume now is 20 million a day. And so even Friday, 58 million shares traded, average daily volume 20 million. More than double the shares traded, you know? So it's momentum.
When you're talking about, you know, it doesn't matter about revenue, blah, 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 you know, I get that, what you're saying, but at the same time, because of that, you're then really only just trading on that hype cycle thing or that roller coaster.
Yes, what's the problem with that?
Lottery.
Yeah, it's not a lottery. Don't be hung up.
That's where I am. I'm saying you're getting kind of... You're trying to suggest that it's like a really skillful kind of art to be able to do this sort of trading and do all this stuff. Yeah, there's an element of that, but there's a lot of luck picking the right stocks and doing stuff.
Hang on a sec. I mean, it is luck, yes, but you have to make value judgment on it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but it's just too. I just don't see it. It's like, as if you're investing in, say, bigger stocks with dividend and all the rest of it, and it's very boring, and it's kind of like, yeah, earnings per share and dividend, blah, blah, yield and blah, all this. Or, you know, whatever, it's going to be a more sort of considered.
Okay, let me ask you one question then, Peter. If it's luck, right? If it is just down to sheer luck, how come I've had a lot more baggers than you two?
Because but you're on it all the time.
But it's not luck then, is it? Exactly, it's not luck then, is it? It means because I'm you know, on it all the time doing it. It's like, you know, if you like, it's like anything. You can't just say it's luck because I'm reading about stocks, lots of stocks every day. It's not luck, is it? It's knowing how it works.
No, but it's not. It's what it is. Is investing in a lot of different companies, and some are very successful, and some are mediocre successful, and some are kind of like snooze box or whatever. You know, that you lose money on. It's just
I disagree. Look at my portfolio, right? I've got 20 stocks, right? Only three of those I'm down on, pretty much. Right, and it's also the way, like, you've got to have a strategy. It's the way you buy. Like I said, you can buy any stock and make money. You can buy a rubbish company at the right price and make money, you know?
Okay, but you're saying that you're down on like three stocks, but then you will have sold others at a loss, which is fine, and we've all done that, and we've all had to do that, and that's all part of trading. But it's...
Not many, though. Not many. Okay. I mean, one I did, I think, and last I sold at a loss, I get on that, and I thought, do you know what? They have potential there, you know, the projects they're on, but it's going to take too much time, they need cash, I'm out. I'm checking out of it. And I took a loss. And you make a judgment on that. And other people will hold on to that, and they've been suspended this week. And I thought, well, I'm not going to hold on. It's going to take too long to get the money. It's going to take too long to get these projects, you know, working for them. And, you know, so I just checked out. It's just too long.
I suppose what I'm ultimately saying is that to really make any significant money and to be on it, and to have those kind of MySquare moments is to do what you do, which is like every single day be on it and be trading or watching your investments and all this. It's not really the AIM market. It really is not for people like me or perhaps Steve who dip in and out and watch it a bit here and there.
Because if you look at the companies like, for example, Urine, right, at the moment, like Asia Met.
Urine?
Right? Yeah. you two. Listen, sorry, you two just remind me of urine. No, listen, you are in at the moment, right?
Yes.
So you look at Talao, Asia Met. Talao isn't performing at the moment. That will be a bagger, a multi-bagger. It will. You can pretty much say that with confidence, you know? Unless something out of left field happens, you know, really odd thing happens that no one ever saw coming, you know, that will be a bagger at the moment. And do you know what? People are losing faith and they're selling and they will think, oh, I'm such an idiot in about a 6 months or a year's time. And so there are companies with an investment story that you know are going someplace, you know, and Asia Met is the same, you know, and there's something like for example, PVR at the moment, you know, Steve's in, Province Resources, it's had a dip. But you can hold that because they're going for a major spud in June, you know, massive amount of resources there, and, you know, it will go one way at the moment. When that spud happens, but I don't know if it'll strike all. But you can limit yourself. I mean, you know, it's not about what you pick; it's how you pick it, how you buy it, how you sell. So I just say to everyone, it's shares is a learning game, and the more people's friends have said to me or gives a tip, I say it's not really like that, you know. Because if I had to manage money, I'd do it for other people. I'd do it, you know. I wouldn't do it differently, but I wouldn't take as many risks, and I probably wouldn't be, you know, do as well. So it's a funny way to do it. But it is about learning, you know? You can't just step into something and get it right. It takes ages.
Like I saw the My Square rise the other day, and you know, I was just like, well done to everyone who's in that, excellent. You know,
I didn't get it again!
No. I didn't. I laugh at it now because I just go, that's just funny. That's just like, there's no real...
Yeah, you know, you laugh like that.
No, I was like, that's funny. I mean, well done. 50%. I've been in some stocks that went crazy high on particular days. And it's a nice feeling. And that's great. But I just laugh because you can say all you want about, you know, oh, the market cap is down and it's potential blah, blah, blah. I still stand by. There's a lot of...
Peter, what are you talking about? You can say what you want, the market cap is down. That is, the market cap of a company is completely relevant to a company. Like right now, you can compare... Let me say one thing. Right now, you know, you've got Audioboom at 23 million, MySquare 21 million, right? Yet Audioboom are going to do revenues this year at 5.4 million. Probably exceed that easily, I think. And yet MySquare, I don't know, probably do a couple of million. So, you know, so you can say, what's more potential now? The share price has just gone up like a spike, or Audioboom that's bumping on the bottom? And, you know, for me, at the moment, it's Audioboom. Of course it is. They've got cash. They've got, you know, the revenues are going up. So you have to look at what the market cap is. Look at the chart as well. Make sure you don't buy a spike. It's a combination of factors. And it's not just luck. It's not just luck at all.
No. It's not just luck. But there's just...
It's a little bit of luck in anything, Pete. A little luck in me going to the shops to buy some milk and I get knocked over by a car. You know, that's a little bit of luck as well, isn't it?
That's a pity.
No, it's a little bit of luck in life. You know what I'm saying?
Did you get knocked over? Steve, sorry, I feel like I'm hogging this podcast. What are your thoughts?
I kind of agree with you both, really. I think there's I hate to say it, but yeah, I kind of agree with Pete. So there is a bit of luck of it because everything that we have bought into has obviously we've had tips and recommendations from you. So
what is that?
Do your own research, Steve. Remember.
But do you know what? This is very much like, I could liken it to companies that promise, and then after a while, they, you know, people check out and they can't, you know, they don't bother. I mean, for a while, you know, Audioboom has missed revenue targets before, and they've keep promising, and there's been reasons for that, but after a while, people lose faith. And when they're all lost faith, and all of a sudden it's starting to come good this year, right, you know, people try, and it's like, you know, I've been, you know, like I said, it is a trade. You know, I mean, learning about stocks and shares, especially penny stocks, is a learning process. And unfortunately, the tips you got off me at the start, you enacted upon, are rubbish.
But do you know what I think it's also got to do?
No, they're not
well,
rubbish.
There's also more like companies I don't like to invest in. I just don't have that. I mean, it's the same for Pete as well. It's like I would like to put some money into that. But you just can't keep throwing money into everything that you think's got a thing. It's, you know, limited resources, really.
Well, I sort of think you could put, like, a different strategy would be, like, put $5,000 or $10,000 or something into one stock, and then if it goes down like 10%, take it all out, put it in the next one. If that goes down 10%, put it, take it all out, put it in the next one. And then one of these stocks, along, you might get down, your 10 grand might go all the way down to be earning $3,000. And then you'll put in a stock and it'll be My Square. And then that will then go, oh, there we go. And then you get $3,000 turns to 15 or whatever.
You can do that. You can limit the risk by knowing what's happening with the company, you know, by doing research and knowing how much cash they have.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, there's lots of companies you should avoid because they don't have any cash. And it's not, people think it's because you're a listed company, you know, it's easy to raise cash. It's not. It's a high risk for any lender. And so, you know, when you get a company that says cash and they have, for example, at the moment, bumping on the bottom, I don't know when it'll go, but Audioboom will. And I also believe, so, for example, I'll talk about last week, Upland Resources. If you saw that picture last week about those the Sarawak guys coming over to London to chat with the guys from Upland, and there was heck of a connection with the Malaysians there. They've got a lot of skin in the game, and I think that could have massive potential. Steve Staley there, and yet it's one of these quiet companies that people, you know, at the moment are not on. It's not hot. It starts to get hot when it starts rising, and, you know, like My Square, it's hot now, and people are jumping in now. Like people, friends of people who are involved in shares are jumping in, not knowing anything about the game whatsoever. That's when the momentum comes, you know? And it'll happen with, for example, another one, ECR Minerals, very quiet at the moment. That, you know, that won't be like that forever. And it'll start to, so these are the companies you should look at that have cash, that are not being talked about, that, you know, the chart is flattish, not doing anything. That's when you should get involved. It's knowing about the company and knowing when to buy. And that's a couple of things there. But as always, you should always do your own research. But, you know, there we are.
Okay.
Have we missed any stuff?
The scale of the meteoric rise on some things like My Square or EVRH is just beholden to the crazy market, isn't it? You can't really predict how crazy that would have got.
No, I know, but again, it's everything in the life is like a pendulum. It goes one way, then the other, you know? But it slows down, so it'll find a happy medium. Hello, I can tell your future. I'm very happy about that.
Yes.
But it'll find a happy medium. But, you know, overbought, oversold, everything that happens like that, everything's an overreaction, you know? And the other companies, you know, overlooked, in fact, you know, till now at the moment, people are losing a bit of faith, but it's going to get there. The people's operator, you know? If they can come out with those revenue growth that they've said that's at the start of March or what they talk about in February, then that's, you know, only a 9 million market cap, and yet they should be doing, you know.
I'm going to revise what I said. I think the luck element or the fortuitous element or whatever is in the scale of the rise. That's that, you know, so they're all quite good, they're all potential. The fact that My Square then, I don't know, is up 300% in 1 week is pretty difficult to predict by anybody, really. That's just
momentum. Completely.
So the scale is what I'm saying is the luck element.
Absolutely.
I'll revise what I've been saying. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Well done to everyone who's in. That's brilliant.
But listen, again, even that rise, right? Even if you're in the stock, you can mess up. There's a guy on Twitter, and he put his hands up, and he said, "Right, I'm out." And he took about 50%, you know? Right. And then it's gone on to do another 150%. And he was kicking himself on Twitter. Fair play to the guy, and he's called Welsh Trader Guy, he's called Welshman Trader, I think. And he said, "Oh," and he castigating himself. And I said, "That's why you need a strategy to keep your foot in there. You never know where it's going to go." But like, and my strategy is, you know, if it doubles, sell half, you've got your stake back. And sitting for the ride. If it doubles again, sell half again. And, you know, keep doing that. I mean, it depends how much profit you want to take. But then you're making money. And, you know, like I said, I'm still in with My Square. I expect to come back. But, you know, at the moment, I want to keep a toe in because every stock you're involved and invested in, you pay more attention to. And I don't want to lose the thread of it, you know? So, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
That's my. I think another one as well. You know, people off taking off the ball, come off the ball. Angus Energy, check the guy Paul Vonk on Friday. Brockham, you know, transformational could be. There's a Surrey Council thing, so dinner planning mission. Absolute rubbish. I wrote a blog about it last weekend, and they've released saying they're going ahead with it. Pretty much, they've got all the permissions they need, and all they need now is an addendum from the OGA and a permission for that. And, you know, I think they could fly because they are the only company, and people don't understand this, with a production license in the Weald Basin. The Weald Basin, which this is what UK Oil and Gas said, may have 158 billion barrels of oil. You know, North Sea, which has been a prolific producer of oil for so many years, for the majors as well, has only produced 40 billion barrels. But yet, you know, I don't know how much is recoverable, maybe even 5-10% of that. But they're the only company with a production license. People don't understand this. To get a production license, like UK Oil and Gas have an exploration license, you have to go through many, many hurdles, many regulatory hurdles. You have to prove certain things. And then, hopefully, a couple of years down the line, you may get a production license. Angus Energy have a production license. You can drill underground for miles and miles and miles, you know. So you have other people could use their thing. So they are the gatekeeper to the world, which holds a lot of oil. And people are going to see this. And that's. And also, they've got, you know, producing oil fields as well, so they can generate cash. They don't need to keep going back to the market. Plus, they can explore and have potentially huge upside potential. So it's knowing about the companies, you know, I think, and knowing if they have cash or anything. So you can certainly narrow your focus. Yeah, you can't predict where the share price is going, but you can narrow your focus into certain companies. Like that's a resource company, tech resource. That's the area to look at, I think, you know.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
Anyway, it's been very good, very lively. But, yes. You know, and Stephen, any news?
Any interest?
No, not really. Nothing to share with you.
Oh, cheers. Oh, that means he's doing something.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
He's got nothing to share with you.
Okay. All right, then. Well, lads, have a nice weekend.
Marvellous, yes. Well done. Well done on my square, Just.
It's through gritted teeth. I know it's hard to do. But isn't that funny?
No, it's really not. I'm saying well done.
It's a friendly rivalry, isn't it? But yeah. Listen, guys, are you in Upland?
Yeah.
That'll go well. Don't you worry about that. It's, well, it's quiet. Good. People mistake no news for no news.
Yes, that's right.
But do a bit of search and you'll find, you know, something's going to happen there. You know, the more I've thought about that, after last week I sort of mentioned it, but the more I thought about that, this guy's from Sarek coming over, you know, halfway around the world, looking at all formals. There's something happening there. And if you do this research, have you seen Sarawak? Unbelievable. By the way, it's right next door to the the Brunei, you know, the Sultan of Brunei, you know?
Yeah,
one of the richest guys in the world. He made it through oil and gas. Huge reserves of oil and gas of Sarawak. Check it out. And I think it's going to go well, you know. Anyway, do your own research, please. You know, as Pete and Steve have found out, tips and recommendations do not work.
No, they do not.
And it was Steve's idea to go for BT. That's why he did in-depth research. I followed up with a bit of research. Pete did a bit of research. And we all concluded, yes, this is our next stock.
That's it. Yeah, that's it, yeah. That's exactly how it happened.
All right, guys, have a nice weekend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.